Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
My friend David Stocker is preaching today, and they're launching a church in the heart of Miami, Florida. If you've never been to Miami, that is a place that needs the gospel. So I'm praying and believing that we can get to 100,000 because I would love to give the rest of that tithe to Dave and to what he's doing right there in Miami. Tripp and I are going to Miami tomorrow. We've walked Miami. I've prayed over Miami. They're the right people to it. He and his beautiful wife are launching this church in the new year. It's going to be an incredible, life-giving church, just like this church. A lot of what Dave is going to share with you today, you're going to sound like we're brothers from another mother. They're going to reach that city for Christ. I believe that with all my heart and my soul. And he's going to come preach for in just a moment. His beautiful wife is here today, Kristen. Would you stand up for just a second, Kristen? Can we honor Pastor Kristen? They're launching down there. Kristen and Diana and I, we've become fast friends. And we're so thankful today. She's here today. David's dad and his mom are here today. Would you guys stand up today? These guys planted a church a long, 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 long time ago. And I'm hoping I can be faithful in it as long as you guys have been in it. These guys have been in it, and they've been in it. They've led multiple churches. Thousands and tens of thousands of lives have been changed because of you guys, your faithfulness. They used to, his grandma or his mom, their family is from this area, and God called them to launch a church, and they went to Miami, and they started a church down there that reached so many people. And a lot of what I believe that David is going to step into, his son is going to, and Chris are going to step into, is going to be, they're going to harvest seeds that you guys have planted. And so we honor you guys today. I honor you, my wife, our team honor, our church honor you. We're so thankful. But my friend Dave is going to preach to us today. Now, there's not seatbelts on these chairs, but you're going to need just hang on, okay? You just can't, he only has 30 minutes. The bad news is that his introductions usually are 30 minutes. And so I think if you lean in and you look engaged, I think he'll preach faster today. Now, and be glad you're here. We have to go decorate cookies. I have no idea how long he's going to preach in the second hour. But I believe that today that there's going to, I know this man well. And I believe that what he's going to share with us today is going to encourage you. It's going to move whatever he has to share. He brought 16 messages with him, he told me. He's not sure which one he's going to preach, but I'm really, really excited. But would you guys stand to your feet? Would you guys honor Pastor David Stocker to come preach to us today? Come on, let's show some love.
You're going to take notes? Come on. Come on. Can we honor your pastors right now? Come on, Pastor Wes and Diana. My goodness. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. I was going to introduce my wife and my family, but I mean, I can't do it now. Wow. You are like a professional introducer. Is that the word? Introducer. That's all you can do. Wow. Are you glad to be in church today? My goodness. I was here several years ago, and man, it was an incredible, incredible time that we had with you, and wow, your church has grown. Come on, give it up for yourself for being invitational and for being here. And as Pastor Wes said, I grew up most summers here, just about a mile from your church right here. My grandmother lived off of Beulah Road, and she had a nursery, and she had 5 acres, and she would bring us from Miami to Winter Garden every summer and worked us in her field. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Granny's house. And Granny's like, no, I'll make you biscuits and gravy. And I'm like, okay. And then we got here. I'm like, no, you just want us to work. But our family has roots here, and we love this area. We love your church, and we love your pastors. You have two of the greatest pastors in the entire world. Come on. Yes. And Wow, $100,000 for Heart for the House. Come on, give it up for yourself one more time for that. Absolutely incredible. Like you said, I only have a little bit of time. Everywhere else I preach, they will give me at least 35 minutes, and you're only giving me 30. So come on, let's get into it. Are you ready for the word today? Genesis chapter 28, verse 11 says this. So he came to a certain place, and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place, and he put it at his head. And he laid down to sleep in that place. This is speaking of Jacob. Verse number 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land that you lie on, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Come on, how many of you just like, man, this is for me today? Come on, anybody want this promise for your life today? Verse number 15, are you still with me today? Verse 15, behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, but I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jesus, we love you today. We thank you so much for your word. God, your word is already anointed, but I pray that you would help me to get out of the way, and Lord, that you would speak through me for your people here today. Jesus, we need you, and we need a word from heaven for our lives today. So God, I pray you would impart this to every heart and every person. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, would you look at your neighbor and say, God is in this place. Come on, would you look at your neighbor? God is in this place. Have you ever been in a time in your life where you felt lost? Or let me ask you this. Have you ever just been lost before? So all the ladies have no problem admitting it, but all the guys are like, I've never been lost. And it's just that we don't admit it. Come on, are there any people that use Waze, any Wazers in the house? Okay, we've got some Waze people. Anybody like Google Maps people? Google, okay, we have Google. Anybody that you would say, I don't need a map, I'm a human compass. Come on, anybody, I don't need a map. Okay, these are all the people that get lost. Okay, and these are the people, like I was leaving Miami yesterday, and someone stopped at a stop sign. And they were just stopped, and I could see through their back windshield that they were getting directions, and they were stopped for like 3 minutes. And in Miami, we don't have patience like you do here in Winter Garden in Orlando. We're like on the horn. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking? Anybody have anyone from Miami come up to Winter Garden, and you're like, they're honking the horn? You're like, yeah, that's the 305 right there. That's Miami people. You know what? It's almost impossible for us to get physically lost today. Because of technology, because of all the apps and the maps that we have on our phone, it's almost impossible to get lost in a physical place. But what do you do when you feel like you're lost spiritually? Or you feel like you're lost, like in the season of my life. Like, I didn't expect to be in this part of my life at this time of my life. Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. Where you're like in a season where you're just like lost. And you're like, what am I doing? How did I get here? The scripture that we just read is a story of Jacob. And if you know the story of Jacob, and if you don't, you should go back home and read it today in Genesis. Jacob and Esau, two of the most prolific figures in all of Scripture, that Jacob is the one who cheated his brother out of two-thirds of his dad's inheritance. His father was extremely wealthy, and Jacob tried to force the timing of God's hand. And he tried to force God's will in his life, which, can I tell you, anytime you try to force God's will in your life, not only will you lose what was coming to you, but you will forfeit what God had planned for you. And what happened is
Jacob knew he had a promise from God over his life, but he was tired of waiting. And so he forced God's hand. He cheats his brother out of two-thirds of his dad's multi-million dollar inheritance. And if you would ask Jacob, where do you think your life is going to end up? He would say, man, I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be so rich. I'm going to have started businesses. I'm going to have a wife. I'm going to have a family. I'm going to be sitting on a yacht on South Beach. Like, that's where I am going to be in my life. But here on this night, here on this day, we find Jacob is not where he thought he was going to be. Here at this scripture that we just read, Jacob is on the run. Jacob is hiding from God. Jacob wants nothing to do with God. And not only is he not where he thought he would be professionally and with his wealth and with his career and with his life, but Jacob has absolutely nothing on this night that we're reading this scripture. And in the moment of his greatest disappointment, watch this, Hope Church, he has the greatest encounter with God. Could it be that some of our greatest encounters with God are in moments that we least expect it? Could it be that some of our greatest encounters with God are not when everything in the business are up and to the right, and not when the marriage is doing great, not when the kids are excelling in school and athletics and in their relationships? Could it be that God can use the seasons where we feel lost, where we feel abandoned, where we feel like, how in the world did I end up here? Can I tell you, as I'm preaching, I've been there before, where I'm like, how in the world did we end up here? Like, this isn't what I thought life would look like at this time. This is not where I thought I would be at this moment. And here Jacob is, one of the strongest figures in all of Scripture. And he's at this place, and he is lost. And he feels hopeless. And he's rebellious. And he's running from God. And in his greatest disappointment, Jacob has one of the greatest encounters with God. Do you know, I've been praying for you today that no matter what season you're in your life, that God would bring us to a place, a gathering place like Hope Church, and that me, that you, that all of us in this place today would have an encounter with God. That today would not just be another Sunday that, hey, fam, we just checked the box. We did church today. Let's go about our day. But no, could we slow even this service down for just a moment and say, God, I need to have an encounter with you today. I want to give you three things. I had eight points, but now I'm down to three. Is three good? I don't even see a countdown clock. Where are we? Oh, there it is. There she is. Okay, here we go. Three things. It is so hard not to have a good time with your pastor. Like, your pastor is the greatest pastor, but he is literally nuts. You know that, right? In a good way. He's anointed nuts. You know, he's like, okay, here we go. Number one, write this down. Write this down in your notes. Because I don't want you to miss an encounter with God. So number one, write this down. It is possible to miss God. It is possible for you and I to not recognize God. Like, did you know it is possible for us to be in church today? For the Holy Spirit to show up. For, like, God to be in this place. It is possible for two people, even in this room right now, to be sitting next to each other and one person have an encounter with God and the next person right next to him go, well, that was okay. That guest speaker was, he was kind of loud. Can't wait for the real pastor to be back next week, you know. Like, no, it was just okay. Did you know it is possible to be in the presence of God and miss that he is there? Can I tell you, that is one of my biggest fears in life, is to miss God. That I don't want to be in an atmosphere like this and miss what God wants to speak to my life, to miss what God wants to do in my family. And it's possible to miss God. Jacob is here, and he says, I'm in this place that I don't like, but this is the presence of God. The presence of God is here, and I didn't even know it. Jacob had spent so much of his life running and pursuing, trying to make things happen, trying to make business happen, trying to make relationships work, trying to do things on his own because he was not willing to wait on God. I don't know about you, but there are these gifts of the Holy Spirit and these fruits of the Holy Spirit, and I'm really good at some of those fruits, but some of those fruits I'm not really good at. Like, one of those fruits is called patience. Come on, somebody. Anybody at Hope Church, you struggle with patience. Let me see your hand. We're not a Catholic church, but this is confessional time. Come on. I mean, it's just not one of the things. And what drives me crazy is when we will order something on Amazon and it gives you, like, it's going to be delivered on this date, and then it doesn't show up. Come on. Come on. I mean, it's like a first world problem right there. But it's real. And it's like, I start calling. I start trying to do everything. I'm like emailing support and their help desk and doing all I can do. Like, patience is not one of my strong suits. But can I tell you, that can get us in trouble when it comes to God's timing. Because we read here in Scripture, God's got a promise over your life. But are you willing to wait out a season to get to it? Or do we try to take things into our own hands and try to make things happen? And here's what I've seen with my life and with Jacob's life and maybe with your life. We miss God for three reasons. Would you write these down? Any note takers here? Come on, write these down. Three reasons why. Number one is because of stress. One of the number one reasons why we miss God is because of stress. And Jacob was so overwhelmed that life wasn't going the way it should have been. And I shouldn't have to be paying and living paycheck to paycheck and working multiple jobs. And I'm just stressed. I don't know how I'm going to be able to do it. And stress clouded his vision that God was working all along. Can I just encourage you that in the thing that you're stressing out about, God is working all along. God is behind the scenes. God is behind the curtain. God is working on the thing that you're stressing about. Number two, the reason why Jacob missed God was because of ambition. And ambition is not bad, but there are two types of ambition. One is an ungodly ambition, and the second is a godly ambition. And you and I can miss God when we are chasing things that God never told us to chase. Number three, would you write this down? Jacob missed God because of relational drama.
Whoa, why'd that one hit so hard? Next week, we're starting a relationship series.
But come on, isn't that the truth? How many of you know when there's relational drama, you can't even think about anything else? Like, all of your mental bandwidth and emotional bandwidth and energy is so soaked into that relational drama that things at work are going undone, and you're not present with your kids because you're present in that drama. And Jacob had so much relational drama that he did not even see that his relationship with God was fading to the place he didn't even know he was in the same room with God. But can I encourage you today? Psalm chapter 139, look what this says. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. I'll make my bed in hell. Behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, you are there. Even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Can I tell you, church, there is nowhere that you can go that God's presence is not there with you. Oh, I love gathering in church like this, but can I tell you, God's Spirit is just as strong with you tomorrow at work. He's just as strong with you when you get that news that is bad news or that report that you weren't expecting. Wherever you go, the Spirit of God wants to go with you. Is there anybody here today that you're thankful that God never leaves you? He never forsakes. You know what that tells you? When you read your Bible and you pray every day, he's there. You know what that tells you? When you messed up last week or last night, God's presence was still there. God has made a covenant with you that he will never leave you or never forsake you. The problem is that we aren't aware that he's here. I remember when I was growing up, and my parents are here to keep me honest about this, but I remember growing up in the age where it was okay for you to spank your kids. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, today that's called child abuse. But back in the day, Like even my grandma, my abuela, any Latinos in the house? And just my wife. I would go visit my grandmother here, 5 acres that she made us work. And when I would misbehave, like she would say, you know what? Go out to that tree and go pick a switch. Come on, anybody ever heard that word, switch? Oh, just even saying it while I'm preaching, I kind of get, ugh. And my dad, one time, I was going to get a spanking, and I'd done something really bad. I mean, it wasn't too bad. We burned down a field. But it was an accident. And it's hard to preach when your parents are here, Wes, because he, like, even more comes out. And so his thing was, you go pick a switch out from the avocado tree out in the front yard. And so I'm like, cool, I'll go pick a switch. And as I'm says, but you better not pick one too small, or I'll come out there and pick the switch. How many of you know, like, that is worse torment for a child than the actual spanking itself? Because you're standing before this tree full of switches, avocados, and you're like, I can't pick that one because it's too small. I can't get that one because I will die. What do you do? And then parents in that age would always say the same thing before they spank you. And what they would say is, this is going to hurt me. And I'm just like, okay, let's find out. You give me the switch. I remember one time I was in the kitchen and my mom was just, she was like, let me have it. And I deserved everything that I got. But she was, let me have it. And I didn't get a spanking that day, but I had done something. And she was like, you're never going to do this again. And so I'm like, do you understand? And so she goes, go to your room. And so I walk down the long hallway to my room. And I'm walking down the hallway. And I say, just barely under my breath, I said, I'll do what I want to do, woman. Little did I know that she had walked down the hallway with me. And I hear her say to me, well, what do you think you're going to do, young man? And when I heard her gentle voice, it scared me to death. Like, my heart and my soul just died right there. And it's amazing because I never would have said that if I knew she was right there with me. Because when you are aware of the presence of someone, you will act different, you will talk different, you will live different, you will faith your life different. I wonder how you would worry if you had an awareness that God's presence was right here with you. I wonder if you'd be as stressed out as you are right now if you realize, man, my Father God is right here with me. I wonder if you would have so much anxiety and fear if you realize, if my God is for me, who can be against me? And he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He is always going to be here with me. What is so amazing about the story with Jacob is in one verse he says, I don't want to be here. I hate this place where I'm at. In the very next verse he says, how awesome is this place? What is the difference in our lives of, man, how did I get here? I don't like being here. I don't like this season. I don't like where I'm at. Versus, man, God, thank you for putting me in this season. Thank you for trusting me with this season. I'll give you the word. Would you write this down in your notes? It's awareness. Jacob went from despair, bitterness, resentment, guilt, pain, regret, to now he's got hope, excitement, and zeal for life. Nothing changed except his awareness that, God, you are with me, and you're working all things together for my good. Number two, would you write this down? You have to understand that the key that opens the door is God's presence. Watch this. Watch what happens. Verse number 17. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Can I tell you, Jacob realized that the presence of God was like a portal to the supernatural. and he has this supernatural encounter with God. He became aware that if God's presence is here, I can move from the natural to the supernatural. Can I tell you, church, what we don't do enough of in modern Christianity is we don't see through the supernatural lens. Like, when you get a doctor's report, and I've seen doctor's reports over in my family and in other people's families being a pastor for so long, and it's amazing to see which families look at doctor's reports with natural eyes that say, this disease could end your life, versus someone full of faith, and they say, no, I'm in the presence of God, and I'm His healing power, and I'm going to look at this report through the natural, but through the supernatural, you look at His death. I look at, if God is working in me, then God is going to complete this work, and He's going to use my pain for a testimony, and He's going to use my pain for an example of His goodness and His power. And Jacob was in this place where he had this encounter that, man, God's presence is the key things through the supernatural. Several months ago, my wife and I were told about this restaurant. We were traveling, and some friends told us, they said, hey, you need to go to this restaurant. And so we made a reservation. We get to the restaurant. The Uber driver drops us off, and it looks nothing like the restaurant that we're supposed to be at. It looks nothing like the pictures. And all my friend said is, man, this restaurant's going to blow your mind. It's an experience. So we get to this lobby, and it's just like this big, cold lobby. And there's this guy standing in the lobby with a laptop, and he's just typing away. And we go to where this guy is, and I said, hey, I think we're lost. Where is this restaurant we have a reservation for? And so he kind of looks up, and he's in a suit, and he's all sophisticated. And all he does is hand us a key card. And I see the key card, and I'm like, what is this? And he goes, find the door on the top floor with the same logo as on the key card. And so I look at my wife and I look at Chris and I'm like, what in the world? We're about to die. This sounds like something like from a movie. So we get in the elevator. We take it to the top floor. And when the elevator door opens, it's completely black. It's just dark. And I look at my wife and I'm like, no, we're really dying now. This is like, where are we? She goes, just get out there, you man of God. And just go. And so she like nudges me out. And so I step out of the elevator, and it's literally like those movies where the lights come on like down the hallway. And so we start looking for the door with the same logo as the key card. That's all we've got. That's all the instructions we have. And so we're walking down the hallway, and I don't hear anything. It's just like silent and really quiet. And we finally get to the end of the hallway, and there's this door with the same logo. And so I take the key, and I put it on the thing, and the light turns green, and I hear a click, and so I go to turn the doorknob, and when I turn the doorknob, I go to open it, and I did what every man of God, every brave, courageous man of God would do. I said, girl, you go first. So the door opens the rest of the way. Someone opens the door, and when they open the door to this restaurant, y'all, I'm telling you, it is crazy. You couldn't even hear it in the hallway, but when they open this door, there are like waiters walking around with food. There's like music, a live band that's playing. You hear people laughing and talking and dishes clanging, and you can smell the food, and it's just absolutely amazing. And when we opened the door, it was a whole different experience on the other side of the door than what was in the hallway. And when we went into this restaurant and we ate in this restaurant, when we left, it was the same thing, but in reverse. We left this incredible atmosphere. Now we're into a silent, creepy, scary hallway, back to the creepy, scary elevator. And I had this thought. We never would have known what was behind that door if we didn't have the right key. And I wonder how many Christians in America today have faith in God, who love God, but they haven't tapped into the awareness of God's presence. And because of that, there are so many things behind the door that we haven't even tapped into. We haven't even experienced yet. And there are people walking around in their faith in the hallway, confused and discouraged, and maybe even today feeling lost in their season of life. But I'm here to tell you, the presence of God is the key that opens the door to the supernatural. Church, What if there is prosperity at another level that you've never seen on the other side of the door? What if God has a healing for you, a restoration for you, a reconciliation for you on the other side of the door, but you can't get there without the presence of God? man, how many people missed out? Because the presence of God is here. And how many church services do we come and then we leave and we don't feel change and nothing has changed in our life? It was just something we checked off, but we missed something. We missed the presence of God. Wants to take us beyond the natural, but to the supernatural. God wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to break addictions. He wants to break bondages. He wants to break childhood trauma. He wants to break depression. He wants to break relational strife. He wants to mend marriages. And we've done everything we can in the natural, but Pastor, it's still not working out. I would propose to you today to lean into the presence of God like you've never leaned into Him before. Because if you will get into the presence of the door, listen to me, church, you will open the door to the supernatural in your life and into your family. And it's not creepy and it's not weird. It's just as natural as anything else. But it's an awareness of God, you are in my life. And I refuse to accept this negativity. And I proclaim your goodness and your power and your strength and your anointing and your favor over me and my family or my marriage and over my business. And I declare it in Jesus' mighty name. I declare it. But number three, you have to know this. You have to know that God has a plan for your life. But do you believe it? God has a plan for your life. But do you believe it? Oh man, Jacob, he was a liar, a cheater, a thief, betrayed his own family. If there is anyone in the Bible that I think God probably would have said, hey, all right, you've blown it, bro. Like, you've blown it. I had a promise for you. I had a plan for you. But because of your bad decisions, no longer. You have forfeited it. Because you lived like crazy in the world, no longer. The promise no longer applies to you. But the thing I love about our God, come on, anybody love God here today? Oh, man, the thing I love about our God is that this Jacob, who is the liar, the cheater, the thief, God says, Jacob, now that you're aware of my presence, let me remind you what I promised you before you messed up. And let me tell you something, Jacob, that promise is still good for your life today. That promise is still good. There are some of you here today, you know your past better than God knows your past. And you feel like God's not going to bless you and God's not going to keep you and God's not going to do what He said He was going to do because of all the bad things you've done. But can I tell you, when God looks at you, He doesn't look at your past. He looks at His promise that He's made to you, His covenant He's made to you. And I know, because some of us don't want to come into the presence of God because we feel dirty and we feel ashamed of what we've done. But I want you to know, when God your life, He sees the promise that He has for you. He sees the plans that He has for you. And Jeremiah declares, they're good plans for a hope in a future. But you've got to know the Word of God. And the Word of God reminds us of the promises of God. So whatever season that you're in, no matter where you're at today, the Word of God promises that He's got a plan for you. The Word of God promises that it's not too broken, that it can't be restored and redeemed. The Word of God promises that your future is still secure. The Word of God promises that He will never leave you or forsake you. The Word of God promises that He's sending His angels to surround you. The Word of God says with long life, He will satisfy you. The Word of God says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard and push him back. The Word of God says that when the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, God will make the enemy pay back a minimum of double of what he took from you, and sometimes seven times what he took from you. The Word of God says that all the promises are yes and amen. The Word of God says He will sit you with influential people. The Word of God says that everything that you give to Him, He will give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But do you believe it? So I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed today, if you could do something, just even right where you're sitting. Yeah. I wonder if you could just take your hands out like this. We just look at, and just hold both hands out. In a manner of receiving, and here's what I want you to do. Just a quick 30 seconds with God. would you take whatever it is that is causing you stress, worry, fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement, regret, bitterness, resentment, anger. Whatever it is that maybe has clouded your vision of what God wants to do, would you put that in your hand? Come on, I want you to picture it right there. I've got something pictured in my hand. And in this sacred moment, with an awareness that God, you are here. God, your presence is here right now. With that thing in your hand, here's what I want you to do. Either out loud or under your breath, will you say, surely the presence of God is here in this situation? Yeah, it's an awareness. It's an awareness that God, you are here in this situation in my life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, would you pray for me today? I need the awareness of God's presence in my life. I walked into this room and I'm wearing my Sunday best and I've got my Sunday smile on, but if I were honest with you, I'm struggling. There's an area in my life that I'm struggling in. And if that's you and you say, would you pray for me that I have a greater awareness of the presence of God and that God would unlock the supernatural in my life and in my family? If that's you, no one looking around, just me. I just want to know who I'm talking to. I want to know who I came from Miami for today. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that at the raising of your hand, strongholds are going to be broken. And that you will leave this place saying, God, thank you. How awesome is this season and this place that I'm in? Because there's an awareness that God is here. So if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? 1, 2, 3. Come on, would you lift your hand? Hands are up all over this room, all over this room. In Jesus' name, God, thank you. Thank you, God, for everyone in this room. Lord, thank you. God, I pray a greater awareness, God. A greater awareness. God, of your spirit, of your presence, God. Thank you, Lord. For everyone over here, God, thank you, Lord, for your presence and your Holy Spirit. A greater awareness. God, I just pray and I declare your promises over these people, over your church, over your sons and over your daughters. And in Jesus' name, we declare that we are leaving here different. We declare that every obstacle is being broken, every giant is coming down. And in Jesus' mighty name, we declare that the presence of God is in my life.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.